Links Radio Sport.
Faster May, a very good afternoon. Welcome along to Saturday Sport Classified. Good to have you here with me on AM. We're going to look at all the sporting action happening today and tomorrow. Coming up on the show, the Parish Walk 2021 will go ahead come hell or high water.
At this stage, we're saying there will be a Parish Walk.
A new era of women's cricket is on the horizon.
Hopefully this squad will then eventually become what will be equivalent to the male national team.
And I'm looking at a brand new local podcast for football fanatics.
If you kind of like shut your eyes and listen to it, you kind of go on this person's journey.
Plus, we have all the latest football, hockey and rugby results and tomorrow's netball fixtures, all coming up in the next hour. Welcome back to the show. Lovely to have you with me, but enough of this flirting. Let's dive straight in to the results, starting in the Men's Football Premier League. So to begin with, we have Rushen 1, Moran 1, St George's 8, Laxey 2, Douglas High School Old Boys 1, Corinthians 3. The Ramsey Air game has been postponed. Douglas Athletic 4, St Mary's 7, Peel 3, Douglas Royal 3. In JCK Division 2, Castletown 0, Jims 4, Onken 19, Pulrose 0, Malou 6, Braddon 2, Ramsey Youth Centre Old Boys 6, Foxdale 3, Union Mills 19, Michael 0, Governors Athletic 4, Douglas and District 3. In Combi 1, Moran 1, Rushen 7. I haven't got the score for Laxey versus St George's yet, so if you do happen to have it, do text me on 166 177. It'd be great to hear from you. Corinthians 8, Douglas Old Boys 0. The Ayr and Ramsey game has been postponed. And Douglas Royal 2, Peel 10. Looking at Combi 2, we've got, I don't have the score yet for Jims versus Castletown. So again, 166, 177 if you have it. Braddon and Malou have been postponed. Foxdale 3, Ramsey Youth Centre Old Boys 6. And I'm not sure of the score for Michael Union Mills, but at half time it was Michael 0, Union Mills 9. And finally, Douglas and District 2, Governors Athletic 2. Turning our attention now to the hockey, and in the women's prem, Valkyries B 0, Castletown A 2, Valkyries A 4, Ramsey A 1, Saracens 0 and Vikings A 12. In the Premier Men's, Vikings B 4, Saracens A 1, Backers A 7, Backers B 1, Harlequins A 1, Ramsey A 9 and Valkyries A 2, Vikings A 1. In the women's Div 1, Castletown B 0, Vikings B 5 and Backers C 3, Ramsey B 1. And the Backers B and Valkyries C game is a late starter, so we'll get those scores to you as soon as we get them. And in men's Div 1, we've got Saracens B 6, Backers C 1, Castletown A 1, Valkyries B 5, Backers Colts 10, Ramsey B 0 and Vikings C 6, Harlequins B 0. So before we dive into the results with Tony Meppin, a new podcast for football fanatics has been created by a local chap, just in case you haven't had enough of the beautiful game for the weekend. So this podcast could be right up your street. Going the Match is a podcast for the people, and it provides a platform for match-going football fans to regale listeners with tales and stories and experiences from watching different games. Mike Holt created the show earlier this year. He told me a bit more about it.
The podcast idea kind of came from, I mean, I never really listened to podcasts before. And Jamie Carragher set one up about this time last year, The Greatest Games. And I remember coming home from work one day thinking, you know, how hard could it be to put my own spin on it, sort of thing. And obviously trying to get match-going football fans involved into it. Turns out it was probably a lot harder than I thought it would be. I think anyone these days can kind of do a podcast, but they probably do it and then they go, oh, I've done a few episodes now and it's not really for me, or people aren't listening to it. So I wanted to make it quite niche, something that everyone can listen to. Obviously, I'm a Liverpool fan, but I didn't want it to be too Liverpool heavy. I wanted it to be something that all match-going football fans and people in general can listen to. So, you know, just because you're a Liverpool fan doesn't mean you can't listen to a Man United episode or vice versa. You can kind of compare and contrast these different stories and experiences. So,
and is that kind of your unique selling point, the fact that it's about those stories of people going to matches?
Yeah, yeah, and that's exactly it.
2 years ago, when we beat Man United in the quarterfinal of the FA Cup at Molineux, like, the atmosphere there was just, it was just, you just, like, from minute one, you just felt, yeah, it just felt like we were going to win the game. They had the better team. You just knew we were going to win the game. And it was sort of that atmosphere. So, yeah, Molineux's not a nice place for away fans.
You know, people that do it, you know, I've not done one where people come away and go, oh, I didn't really enjoy that. People go, oh, that was dead good, that, wasn't it? Or really therapeutic. It has got match-going football fans on, but it's also had, I've had some ex-pros on, football writers, journalists too. And that's only because, you know, just because they're in that area of expertise doesn't mean they're not a fan of their team.
Of course.
So when those options and those opportunities come up, I think you've got to take them. And that's really where it's come from. And it's kind of escalated from there, really.
I saw that you've had some big names in football. Do you get nervous at all before speaking to those people?
I probably did at first, but then I kind of knew when I did the first episodes. The first episode I did was with Keith Salmon. So he's resident here in the Isle of Man. He's seen everything at Liverpool. He's been going since the days of Shankly up until now. And as soon as I did that first episode, I was kind of like, yeah, this is what I'm good at. And, you know, I've been working in an office since I left school when I was 16, working a 9-to-5 job. And, you know, I've never really known what I want to do, but I know now, I think that, you know, doing sports journalism or sports media, obviously football orientated, is what I really enjoyed doing. So when I did that first one, I was kind of like, no, I'm actually all right at this. I think if you listen to the podcast, you know that I'm quite opinionated when it comes to the footy, and that's essentially what it's
you
all about.
You sound relaxed though as well. So yeah, it's like you obviously know the sport in and out, and it's kind of like when I listen to it, you're kind of like the voice of the people, I would imagine.
Yeah, and I think that's what people get from it as well. What I wanted to do with the episodes is, you know, if you kind of like shut your eyes and listen to it per se, you kind of go on this person's journey. So with the episodes I do, we start with the moment that everyone has as a football fan, going up the stairs, seeing the pitch for the first time and having that moment. And then you go up into following the team as a teenager, then you being an adult, and then obviously, you know, if you're a football fan that's maybe in the early 20s that I've had on, you get that different perspective as well. Mm-hmm. So when people listen to it, they go on this journey with someone, which is what people really enjoy.
That's lovely. And you talked about it maybe being a little bit harder than you were expecting. What have you learnt so far, and where do you want to take the podcast going forward?
Learnt so far, I mean, I've got literally no experience in doing this, so I'm kind of learning with every episode I've done. I'd probably say the main things I've learned is to kind of say your big parts at the right time. So, you know, people listening to it will go, they might listen to someone and go, oh, they're, you know, they're rabbiting on a little bit here. So I'll be like, right, let's drop a bomb in there and see if we can, you know, but why do you think that? So that's kind of what I wanted to get from the podcast, because, you know, there's hundreds of football podcasts out there. What's mine going to have that's different? I'll ask the questions and throw the spanner in the works, as it were, to make it a bit different. Going forward with the podcast, I mean, at the moment, it's just trying to get the podcast name out there, people to know about it and listen to it. And I don't think there's anything wrong with saying this time next year, you know, at the moment, I'm in the hundreds of listeners, but why can't I be in the thousands of listeners next year? You know, I think you've got to be quite ambitious with it. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Are you open to people getting in touch with you if they have a specifically interesting story from their childhood or from their life about football? Are you open to people coming forward and asking to be on your podcast?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah, that's exactly what I want. I think the episodes I've done, so the first series I've done contains 10 episodes. So you've got some Man United ones, Liverpool, Everton. You've got so many different ones on there. If you feel like you've got a great story to tell, or, you know, you've been following your team, it doesn't have to be for over 10 years. You could be following for a couple of years. That's exactly what I want. You know, drop me a message and come on. And I'm, you know, like I say, when I first started doing them, I was like, and I listened to myself back, I was like, oh God, I hate the sound of my own voice. But I knew I had to get used to that. And I think, like I say, everyone that's come on and's gone, oh, you know, that was great, that, and built so much confidence up. So if you feel like you've got a great story, or some, you know, you've been following your team for a long time, feel free to drop me a message and come on and we'll talk about it.
Those are all my questions. Is there anything you want to add?
I suppose the podcast is just really, you know, I've had so many people from around the world messaging me about it, which is great. I mean, obviously, knowing I was coming on here today, there's 40 different countries that people have listened to it, which is just mad. Like, I never expected that. You know, I never went into it with the idea of thinking, oh, I want to get this many views, or I want to get 3 months in and get a sponsor. You know, I never thought like that. I didn't want to, I suppose I was quite cautious about running before I could walk. And yeah, it's great that some people have said, obviously, the lockdown that people are in at the moment, they've said, you know, it's really helped me get through it. And that's great. And people that have said, you know, my last hour in work has gone a lot quicker, or taking the dog out for a walk is less tedious because I've been listening to the podcast. And that's fantastic. And that's really why I wanted to do it. You know, by doing that already, if one or two people could get something out of it, ultimately I've already achieved what I set out to do.
Mike Holt there. And you can find the links to Going the Match at manxradio.com on our sports page and also on our podcast page. And I'm delighted to have in the studio with me Tony Meppham to talk through today's football results a little bit more in depth. How are you doing, Tony?
Fine, thank you. Just trying to get some score.
got some handwriting scores going on.
There it is. In shorthand.
And that's all that matters. So let's start in the Prem. So we've got Russian 1, Moran 1. And apparently on the text, this was a bit of a scrappy game.
Yeah, it was. And when I sort of saw the score coming through, and it was Jamie Johnson who got the first and Russian 1-0 up in the first half, I just thought to myself, right, they're back on track, because it was a slow to sort of get going. But then it was an equaliser. I think it was in the first half as well, so 1-1 at half time. We haven't got the goal scorer for Moran. If you could text us through, please, 166-177. Doesn't matter if it's scrappy or not. That's a bonus point, that, for Moran. A big point.
Well, Moran are 13th, aren't they, in the table?
Well, yeah, they were bottom. And that's a big point for them. And that could be the difference between them staying up, because when I look at that table now, it's looking like a Moran St John's relegation, because I think Old Boys have got enough to survive. Douglas Athletic, if I was their manager, I'd be a little bit worried, because I think they're coming down into that pack at the bottom. Douglas Royal, you know, another outstanding point today. So, you know, it's a good point from around, but they've got to beat the teams around them if they're going to survive in this league.
St George's 8, Laxey 2.
And when I watched the first half of this, I just thought to myself, you know what, Laxey have got a good chance here, because they were playing some tidy football. Ryan Gartland, who, you know, has played for both clubs now, and he looked quite handy, to be fair. He's got himself fit. He's always been a good player, there's no doubt about it. But, you know, fitness levels have always been something that maybe Ryan hasn't worked on. It looks as if he's been doing some extra work. So well done to him. But no doubt about it, two stars today for St George's. Two great finishing. Yes, some of them were put on a plate for them, but it was the clever football before that. But Kieran McNulty with a hat-trick. Chris Bass got three as well. And Connor Birch got two goals. So a great performance by St George's. You know, Laxey's defence were nowhere near as good in the second half as they were in the first half. And it just gives Johnny Palmer a little bit to work on. But, you know, there's good players there. Luke Strickett-Morlin on that right-hand side was a danger, you know, getting the ball sort of over. But you could see that, you know, it just wasn't going to go for them. And Rob Stringer, the goalkeeper, you could see he was carrying an injury, and there's not a lot he could do. He had no protection in the second half, and that's why St George's had a comfortable victory.
And we've just had a text in about the Moran scorer, and it was Owen Hurt who scored Moran's goal. So well
Nick's
done to him.
Young fella. Well done, Owen. And yeah, as I said before, great point for them.
And then we've got Douglas High School Old Boys 1, Corinthians 3, and a bit of controversy in this game.
Yeah, I keep hearing this, and I'm going to say it because I think it has to be said. Old Boys seem to be concentrating more on the performance of the referee than actually the player themselves. All we seem to do is hear the complaints of the officials. So I think they've got a man up. I think that's only the fair way to put it. Rob Ward scored the first one for Old Boys to give them the lead. And then it was Chrissy Cannell who equalised to make it 1-1, and 1-1 it was at half time. Steve Whitley got the second to make it 2-1, and then Luke Murray got a goal towards the end to make it 3-1 to Corinthians. Where the controversy is, I think there was one towards the end, they were talking to an official or something, and one of the players, Old Boys players, ended up getting sent off. You know, to me, you don't get sent off unless you've done something wrong. I just don't know, but it seems to be a regular occurrence now. Old Boys complain about the referee.
Moving on to Douglas Athletic 4, St Mary's 7.
Great performance by St Mary's here, and Stephen Priestnell, banging form today. He got three goals. Carl Clark got one. Frankie Jones got a goal. Jack McVeigh and Josh Evans, that's 2-2 for him. Young chairman, I think he's the youngest chairman of a club on the Isle of Man. So responsibility on the park and off the park.
Very
for Douglas Athletic, haven't got any goal scorers. And I've got here Darren Smethers' goal. Not the goalkeeper's goal. I don't know what that one is, but we haven't got the scores anyway.
Oh, sorry. Yes, someone did text. Someone rang in actually and said that the goalkeeper in the Douglas Athletic game isn't a goalkeeper. He had to step in. So they were singing his praises because he did very well.
Fair play. So whoever it is, well done to him. And if the boys want to text us through 166177, we'll give the scorers a mention.
And then finally, we've got a draw between Peel and Douglas Royal. They got 3 apiece.
Great game, this, by the sound of it. Really good. Loads of praise coming in for Douglas Royal, and it's not from Douglas Royal. My spy in the camp, Lee Dixon, was down there, and Lee's given me a full 90-minute report in about 2 minutes. But he just said it was a great display in midfield with Taylor Andrews in there. Kyle Watson was in there, and Sam Baines, I believe, was absolutely outstanding. And the words came to me was, some player he is. Well, I know he is. He's 16 years of age, and he is a talent. Dominic McCarry-Brennan got one. Taylor Andrews got a goal. Daniel Sherry got a goal as well for Douglas Royal. Charlie Higgins, another 16-year-old. Hat-trick hero. Well done, Charlie. And by all accounts, you know, good finishes by him. But I believe Douglas Royal were leading 3-2 with about 5 minutes to go. So well done to Charlie. Saved a point for Peel, and Douglas Royal's good form. Go marching on.
Fantastic stuff. Moving on to JCK Div 2, we've got Castletown 0, Jims 4. And we had a text in saying that Matty Evans couldn't keep up with the pace of the game and ruin, well, in the text it says ruin the game, which is a bit brutal. But I don't know the dynamics or the ins and outs behind that.
Is that Castletown against Jims?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, we don't, I know. We want to be fair, we want to be open on the show, but, you know, criticising referees ain't going to help things. And they've got a process. If there's a problem with a referee, is they know they mark them each game, and then the FA pick it up, and the FA will act on it and look at it. But going public, I know you're doing your job, Rhiann, and that's right, I accept that. But if we're not careful, guys, some of these referees are going to walk away from it, because when you look at the age band of a lot of the referees, the late 50s, 60s and 70s. We're talking one at 73, 74. Sorry, Peter Lewis, if I've got it wrong. But, you know, they give up their time and referee in a fair way. And if we're going to keep knocking them, we're going to lose referees. So, again, just be very careful about it. But, you know, Matty's a good guy. And, you know, whether Matty's had an off day, whatever, we all have them. But you don't need to criticise. But Jims, Luke Fisher got one, Kieran Horrocks got a goal, Ross Crawford and Nick Clegg for Castletown. You know, it was just one of those sort of games for them where Jims were too strong. And you've only got to look at Jims' results of late. They're much improved, they're going well, and it always helps when you score a few goals, and Jims will be hoping to build on this.
Mm-hmm. Moving on, it was it looks like a tough day at the office for Paul Rose. Oncombe beat them 19-0, but we have been told that it was a very pleasant game.
Well, it was, and give credit to Paul Rose. And let me just see if I can get this message up, because this come from Paul Rose. And it just says, hi Tony, Paul Rose never gave up today. Jacob Thomas, outstanding in defence for Paul Rose with David Harding, and Pulley's keeper, Josh Liu. Haven't seen him, but I've heard good reports about him, who made some outstanding saves. It was a very good game. 19-0 coming from Paul Rose, who've just been beaten, credit to them. Mm-hmm. And very sporting. And a massive thank you to Oncombe Football Club for the way they treated the Paul Rose fans with their good hospitality at the game.
Oh, very nice.
Massive credit to Oncombe. It's not fun playing in games like that.
No, of course not, yeah.
There's total respect, but at the end of the day, you know, Oncombe are going, you know, for promotion or whatever, and if it goes down to goal difference, they've got to do a job. But two standout goal scorers today. Joe Rees with 7, so bro Dave, manager, will be happy with that one. Paul Whitley got 6. Mm-hmm. Billy Coulter got 2. Ethan Levers got 1. Paul Morris got 1. George Butler, and Josh Brockbank. So it was 5-0 at half time, 19 at the end. I feel sorry for Paul Rose because Paul Rose, next week, I think, is it they play Lou or Union Mills? I think it is. So there's tough games coming up for
them.
Sounds
like they've got a good attitude, though.
Yeah, they've got Ramsey Youth Centre as well. So they've basically got the top three sides coming up next. So Kevin Cowan's taken over as manager of Paul Rose. Legend, an absolute legend. And he's just come back from a serious illness. So to take responsibility on like this, I take my hat off to him. And I'm pretty certain he'll be looking for advice for once from his son, Liam Cowan, who manages Russian. And I'm not saying it would happen, but if we had a cup game, Pulley against Russian, there's not many, I don't think, father or sons will have managed the opposite teams into a cup game. It might have happened, but there's one for you. So we'll look out for that when the
Watch
cup draw
space.
Comes up.
Yep. We've got Malou 6, Braddon 2.
Good performance by Malou in the end. It was a tight old game. Matty Ogden got one for Braddon. Lee Cura got one. Ash Egan, I've got it. Jamie Skillen got 3. Jack Gilbert got 1. Kieran Kreipner got 1. And Ash Egan got the other one. And I did have a bit of report in on this one, if we can find it. And another win for Malou today, 6-2 final score. The game started slowly. And to be fair to Braddon, they were very organised and played some really good football. They never gave up and played a really good game. And the scorers, as I say, were Jamie, Ash and Jack and Kieran. And a shout out to a very good crowd today at Clackvane, which is the home of Malou. Fantastic to see. And it says there's your game for next week. We go again next week in a game against Paul Rose. So congratulations to Malou.
Nice game.
Yep.
And then we've got Ramsey Youth Centre 6, Foxdale 3.
Yeah, haven't got Foxdale scorers. If you could text us through, Alan, please, 166-177. But Ramsey Youth Centre come back from injury. Darren Hudson got 4, Jason Crane got 1, and Andy Cleater got the other one. 6-3 winners for Youthy.
Another 19-0 score, Union Mills 19, Michael 0.
Yeah, and you know, when I saw that, I thought, wow, that's a lot of goals coming in. And I've got the goal scorers here as well. And as he said, too many scorers to send as a text. So let's give you the scores of the or the goal times of 19 goals. Ryan Kelly got the first after 2 minutes. Owen Quayle got the second on 7. 2 minutes later on 9, Luke Booth got a goal. Sam Kane got the fourth one on the 11 minutes. 16 minutes, Owen Quayle got another. 29 minutes, Sam Kane got another goal. Then 2 goals within 3 minutes for Jordan Crawley on 36-39. Ryan Kelly got one 4 minutes before half time. And it was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 nil at half time. Then in the second half, 4 minutes into the second half, Sam Kane got a goal. Luke Booth then got 2 on 53 and 60. Sean Traylor got a goal on 64. And then Luke Booth got another goal on 67. Carl Uren then had a brace on 74 and 76. And then to complete the scoring on 80 and 88 was Sam Kane with 2 goals.
Wow.
Amazing. And thanks for
it's
the information.
It's a bit of a pummeling. What are your words of wisdom to Michael? Coming back from that.
You know, Michael have done okay, but unfortunately, I think this is going to be a regular occurrence with Union Mills, because I'd like to see Union Mills, when the FA Cup draw is done in about three, four weeks' time, to get a Premiership side, just to see where they are, because the team that they got there is brilliant. It could hold its own in the Premier League, but at the moment, they're doing a job. They want to get promoted.
Yep.
Scoring plenty of goals and another good performance.
Certainly making that happen. And then we've got Governors Athletic 4, Douglas and District 3.
Yes, and for Douglas and District, Daniel Stewart Clegg with 1. And it was Luke Stewart got 1 and Lewis Quattro. Never hear the end of that one. And for Governors Athletic, Costa Lazaroff got a goal. Mike Nash, Alex Blake, he got 1. And Reese Westwell. Now, from what I'm hearing, it was 3-3 with not too much of the game to go, and then Reese Westwell managed to get one over the top of the keeper to make it 4-3. So good goal by him and a good 3 points by Governors, but a good battle, 7 goals.
Moving on to Combi 1, Moran 1, Russian 7.
And let me get the right sheet.
Take your time.
Right, on that one it was Jordan Watterson with 3, Harvey Neal got a couple of goals, Josh Tora got 1 and an own goal. Haven't got Moran's goal scorer.
Are you okay? Do you want some
water? No, I'm fine.
Beer? CPR, yeah.
Yeah.
We've got St George's 5, Laxey 0.
Yeah, Kieran Chu got 2, Lucas James got 2, and Ben Wazza got the other one.
Mm-hmm. And then we've got Corinthians 8, Douglas Old Boys 0.
Tom O'Neill, Joe Middleton, Joe Andrews with 2. Well done, Joe. Adam McCulloch again. Another 4 goals for him. He's absolutely flying in this league. 8-0 at the end.
The Ayr and Ramsey game has been postponed. And then Douglas Royal 2, Peel 10.
Good battle, this one. For Douglas Royal, James Clark got 1. Kevin Ballard, well done, Kev, got the second one. For Peel, Aaron Castain, the standout, he got 4. Tom Brown got 3. Sam, buy a young fella at McDonald's or something. If he scored 3, the young lad's worth something special. So look after him tonight, please, Sam. Finn Donoghue got 1. Ken Senior got 1. And I think it was Matthew Shaman got the other.
And then in Combi 2, we've got Jim's 6, Castletown 1.
Haven't got Castletown's goal scorer, but for Jim's, Darren Christoph got 3. Jordan Birchall got 1. Kevin Armstrong, thanks for the results, Kev. And Phil Ogle got the other one.
The Braddon and Malou game has been postponed, so we've got Foxdale 3, Ramsey Youth Centre 6.
Yeah, and I've got Aaron Broad, Jamie Lang, I think it is, and an own goal. We haven't got Foxdale's goal scorers.
And for the Michael Union Mills games, at halftime I had Michael 0, Union Mills 9, but I don't have the final score on me.
I think we've just got it through now.
Oh,
thanks, Foxy. It was 6-1. I've got here 6-1 at the end. Oh. Owen Shearman got 2, Gaz Logan got 1, Bailey Ashton got 1, Henry Smith got a goal, and Lee Sum. Well done, Summy. And we have 5 16-year-olds playing as well. So it was 6-1 to Union Mills.
Good jobs. I'm not a mathematician. And then we've got Douglas in District 2, Governors Athletic 2.
And for Governors Athletic, Mikey Doyle got 2. It was 2-2 at half-time, 2-2 at the end. Robert Mellon from the penalty spot and Dylan Quayle with the other goal.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much, Tony Metham. Go ease your throat with some nice form of
Man-cold
liquid. Yeah, thank you very much, Tony. Okay, we're moving on to hockey now, and Sam Spooner is in the studio with me. How are you doing, Sam, after your game?
Yeah, not too bad. To
good
be
game
honest.
It was. It was
good for me, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Excellent. We'll get to that. So starting in the women's prem, we've got Valkyries B 0, Castletown A 2.
Yeah, really good performance from Valkyries B. The report I got was that they were so well organised in defence and in the middle of the park that Castan A really struggled to break them down. And for a team like Castan A to say that about a team is, with the goals that they've been scoring this year, is a huge statement to make. And Valkyries B defensively were actually doing better than almost 5 of the sides in that league. And they've stepped up and they've really shown that they can compete. Castan A winning 2-0, and Nikki Kane and Zoe Shimon on the score sheet keeps them in contention and keeps them in second place as well.
Fantastic. And then we've got Valkyries A 4, Ramsey A 1.
Yeah, expected Valkyries A to win. Mm-hmm. Ramsey A, given the credit, the Ramsey keeper had an absolute stormer today, prevented Valkyries from scoring more. Christina Kameen on the score sheet for Ramsey A again. Always hear her name on the score sheet. Really, really good young player. Valkyries A, Sienna Dunn with 2. Andrea Little-Johns with 1, Ellen Cleeter with 1, and Valkyries A still in 4th place, but I've got to say they're going to be in that 2nd place shortly.
Tough match for Saracens. We've got Vikings A 12, Saracens 0, but we did get a text in saying that Saracens played really well and they didn't give up.
Yeah, Saracens never seem to give up in any way, and you know, I mean, I've been involved in games where we've absolutely had a thumping and you get to sort of the 50th minute and just think, oh, what am I doing here? It's pouring with rain and, you know, I'm cold. I just want to go home or go to the pub. But Saracens, every report I ever hear from them is that they just never stopped. They just like playing hockey. So, you know, really well done to Saracens. Vikings A, goal scorers, Kim Carney with 3, Daisy Loder with 3, Mia Greenwood with 2, Sarah Blackman, Steph Foxton, Kirsty Cooper and Sophie Hall all with 1. And, yeah, they're flying high at the top of the table.
And then we've got Backers A 10, Harlequins A 0.
Yeah, and again, it doesn't really change the positions too much. Backers A stay in third, but showing that they are competing. And, you know, that battle for that third or second place is going to be really, really tight. Rose Watkins, Lucy Quine, Rosie Callow, Lauren Brew, Charlotte Fisher all with 1, Louise Corkle with 2. And your mate Sophie Howland with a hat-trick this
week. Yay, gosh, she is absolutely smashing it. Well done, Sophie. Moving on to the men's prem, we've got Vikings B 4, Saracens A 1.
I thought you were going to mention the big result first. We'll come to that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm saving it for the finale.
Okay, I'll let you off.
Okay.
Vikings B versus Saracens A. Yeah, Vikings B, I'll be honest, I didn't expect them to do as well as they are doing this season. But when you look at the side, they've got some real class in that side. Tom Burrows with 2, Andy Harding with 1, and Steve Underwood with 1. Saracens goal scorer is Jonty Bugatti. Again, doesn't really change the positions in the league. But Vikings B, you know, they're looking good to be competing with the likes of Ramsey and Backers B for that final top four spot.
Backers A 7, Backers B 1.
Yeah, good interclub friend. Friendly. But the reports I've had was just that everybody just enjoyed the game today,
good.
And you know, they all went out, and I suspect they'll all be at the clubhouse later on. Andy Whiting with a hat-trick, Tony Bentley-Roberts, Patrick Cox, Will Hassel and Johnny Callowall with 1 for Backers A, and Josh Reardon with the solitary goal for Backers B.
Then we've got Harlequins A 1, Ramsey A 9.
Yeah, Harlequins A have struggled the past few weeks. They've conceded 50 goals in 4 games.
Jeez.
So it's becoming a bit of a hard slog for them this season so far. Ronan Santantolia for Harlequins, and I think that's the first time I've ever said his name right
in
on
one,
air.
Yeah.
I've been practicing this week. Ramsey A, Jordan Parkinson with a really well taken hat trick. John Gower Jackson with 2. Dan Hurd, Sam Moffat, Lewis Neal, Sam Robertson, and Alex Neal all on the score sheet as well. And that pushes Ramsey A into the top four, which is really, really important for them. They want to be breaking into that top four.
And then, of course, the big match of the day, which I feel this is all I can afford in terms of sound effects. So, Valkyries A take a shock win 2-1 over Vikings A.
What a result. And I'm sat here smiling. I should be sat here with the
grimacing.
You know, grimacing. But actually, I've been saying about this about Valkyries since last year. You know, they've been building a young side, and you know, sometimes some of the stories you hear, you know, is that really true? And you know, and some of the texts that you get in, and you know, oh, that can't be right. But today they have earned a massive result, and they've got one over their old rivals, Vikings A, and deservedly so as well. Robin Masson and Luis Novo-Smith, two of the best of mates on and off the pitch, scoring for Valkyries A. Vikings A, Stephen Ronan. And it's just Vikings again. They seem to... They're just so inconsistent during the season that these sorts of results, these are the games you need to win.
Why are they inconsistent, do you think?
I don't know. You know, Tim Henderson wasn't available, a captain today, owing to the fact he's isolating for... Since coming back to the Isle of Man after a trip away, so... I don't know. It happened last year with Saracens, and ultimately that probably lost them the title. But yeah, they really need to sort of step up in these sorts of games and push through. But Valkyries A, their target hat now has to be going after Backers and turning that result over from the other week.
Moving on to women's Div 1, and we've got Castletown B 0, Vikings B 5.
Yeah, big changes at the top in the top four for this table. So Castletown B, Vikings B. Vikings B winning. I didn't expect them to win 5-0, has to be said. Now Vikings B going into the top spot. Kirsty McCary with 2. Charlie Millwood, Morven Smith, Ava Melnick all with 1. I know Charlie, Morven and Ava, 3 really, really good young players. And all the reports I've had are that it was a really great game again
yes.
to be part of.
Someone texted in saying, what... full stop game, so I'm assuming that means it was pretty good.
Yeah, I think I suspect it was as well. And yeah, Castan now go from second to fourth. Vikings B jump from third to first.
Wow. Backers C 3, Ramsey B 1.
Yeah, a fairly tight game here. Ramsey B still rooted to the bottom of the table, but Martha Broderick and Abby Mello, again, 2 very young players for Backers C on the score sheet there. Becky Weimar on the score sheet for Ramsey B.
And finally, we've got Backers B 0, Vikings C 1.
Again, another massive result. Backers B are top of the table and flying high by all accounts. But Valkyries C, I said that, you know, they could be a banana skin for a few teams above them. I didn't quite expect it this weekend, but really, really well done to Valkyries C. Ava Trutler, who is normally a goalkeeper and is performing wonders for Valkyries B and A. This season, I'm not sure which team she's been playing in, but I've heard such good reports about her. Scoring for Valkyries C and her sister having an absolute stormer as a goalkeeper. So really well done to Ava and Ella Trutler today.
Fantastic stuff. And then men's Division 1, Saracens B 6, Backers C 1.
Yeah, and Saracens B getting their first points of the season. Liam Farrar, Christian Davies both with 2. Stephen Jackson and Thomas Young on the score sheet for Saracens B, and the ever young Ian Wrigley on the score sheet for Bathurst C.
Ever young. Castletown A 1, Valkyries B 5.
A massive, massive result for in terms of where the title destination here. Valkyries B just that much better than everybody else in the league. Unfortunately, Castletown had a couple of injuries and illness and a bit of illness in the side today. But I'll say it again. I've said it a couple of weeks ago. Joe Savage is a name to watch for the future. I've watched him play a couple of times now, and he's got such good skills. It's just a bit of maturity he's lacking from time to time. Getting on the score sheet for Castletown A, Valkyries B, you can just tell from the top from their two goal scorers today, Chris Thomas of 4, Neil Jacobs. They are a side that deserve to be in the Premier League right now. They are a very, very good side.
And did you know Neil Jacobs is in the men's Ireland netball team as well?
Ah, I didn't, but well, he's one of those guys that's good at all sports.
Exactly. And then we've got Backers Colts 10, Ramsey B 0.
Yeah, Backers Colts continuing to sneak up on the teams above them. Andy Neal with 3, Dave Partington with 3. I think it's a while since Dave scored a hat-trick. Nick Aspel with 2. Dan Bion and Pete Duchars, again, are making his... he's not quite retired yet. He always seems to come out for one or two games for the season for Backers Colts. So that moves Backers Colts into third place.
And then to top us off, we've got your game. So Vikings C 6, Harlequins B 0.
Yeah, it's a bit of 6-0 doesn't really tell the whole story. I mean, Harlequins B defensively were really quite strong. And Alfie Swales and Corey Corkill were two amazing young players today for Harlequins B. And they are going to go a very, very long way. And yeah, 6-0 didn't really tell the whole story. Danny Kane got 4 for Vikings C, Brandon Parker with 1, and Braden Masterton with 1. Sorry, yeah. I can say Santantolia, but I can't say Masterton. But that puts Vikings C into second place. And again, they seem to be one of those teams, along with Backers Colts, that seem to be creeping up on the teams above them.
Fantastic stuff. Well, thank you very much, Sam Spooner, and well done today in your game. We're talking rugby next.
Manx Radio Saturday Sport.
So the Vaggers ladies recently put on a night of music, drag, drinks and all-round glitz and glam, basically a disco ball in event form, to raise money so they can actually get some game time this season. Saturday ended up being a sold-out night and brought in enough money for the team to charter a flight to Guernsey on the 31st of October for a rematch against the Channel Island. I spoke to player and one of the event organisers, Sophie Henry, earlier today.
With the fundraising, it was fantastic as well because we've managed to now charter a flight into the island for the ladies' vagabonds to go to Guernsey on Halloween.
Oh, amazing.
So it's going to be a Halloween extravaganza in Guernsey. So it's
love
be
it.
Good.
Brilliant. And let's talk about your game against Guernsey, because I remember speaking to you before it and you were like, oh, I've checked them out. I think they're going to put up a good fight. And then you absolutely annihilated them.
We did. It was a really good game. We actually did... 100 minutes, so we had 4 stoppages of 400 minutes, and we scored 1 try, and then they came back to us and we thought, oh, this is the game now. And then after that we just were putting points on the board like nobody's. Yeah, it was crazy.
It came across like you guys had just been gunning to play for so long, and then all of a sudden you were like let loose to just absolutely go to town.
Well, what was right was everything. Yeah, the girls worked together. Like, we came together before as a massive family, and we all had this, like, we need to win, we need to show what we've been training for, and yeah, it was perfect, and everybody was so happy.
Apart from that, you've also had your first game in the Manx Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, yeah, and that's against the men, and is that tag rugby?
It's it's tag rugby. It's with the tethers on, you have to pull off the tethers.
So how did that go?
Well, I was on the sidelines for that due to Guernsey injury, but it was good fun. It went really well. At the start, the boys were putting points on the board, but then the girls came back, so I think the score was 66-60.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah,
so, fab.
No, the girls came back, they kind of put their heads down and realised that because there's no contact, they needed hands. Obviously, the ball travels faster, so
yeah,
that
brilliant.
Was good.
So what did the men think about playing you?
I think the boys enjoyed it because they can use it as an actual training match as well. So they were doing their runs, we were doing our runs. So the boys were good. They
Brilliant.
Were happy.
When's your next one? When's your next match?
I think it is Castletown next weekend. Yeah, okay. Next weekend I think it's Castletown. We were supposed to play Ramsey, but obviously we're going to Guernsey on the 31st.
Mm-hmm. So. And in terms of playing with the men, we often talk about the men being usually faster or mm-hmm. or stronger or bigger. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say that women aren't as good, no. because you can adapt and play your own definitely. Game. So what did you do to adapt to make up for those things?
I think the first 10 minutes of the game, the ladies were adapting to how fast the boys were, because they are quite fast, but obviously we have fast players, so they sorted out their plays, and yeah, the speed was a big thing that we needed to get past them, so it was good.
And how did you get past it? Just tactics?
I think it was tactics. It was nice to see, obviously, the backs as well putting in their runs that they do, because I don't see much from the backs, but their runs were phenomenal, and they just, sometimes you don't even realise where the ball goes because they're that fast. So the girls enjoyed it as well.
Good. Those are all my questions. Is there anything else you want to add?
Obviously with Saturday, I'd just like to say a super thank you to everybody that paid for tickets to help us raise money. And obviously, as you know, it's going towards a Guernsey flight and getting us away to play a bit of rugby. And I'd like to say thank you to ELS, the sponsor of Saturday night, and anybody else that enjoyed the night. Yes.
It is a roaring success because it's done exactly what it set out to do. Yeah. Are you going to need to do another fundraiser after the Guernsey game?
Yeah, we're going to keep up with fundraising, but I definitely think Saturday night is now a yearly thing, and next year it's going to be bigger and better, and yeah, it's going to be fantastic. So don't miss it.
Sophie Henry there. And sticking with rugby, two rugby clubs paid tribute to former teammates today. Vagabonds hosted a fixture to celebrate the life of James Clark, a former captain of the side, and that was at Bala Fletcher. Clarkie was named in the Isle of Man Rugby Team of the Decade earlier this year, with almost 7,000 votes cast online. Meanwhile, the Western Vikings community held a memorial event for Chris Fryer, who also passed away this year. And I've got Dave Christian on the phone now, and he was at the Chris Fryer Memorial Game. So how was it, Dave?
Yeah, pretty good, to be honest, Ree. The sides, both teams had a lot of fun. Finished 42-31 to the Western Vikings. Playing at what are best described as Castletown Barbarians. Nip and tuck for the first 20 minutes, but after that, Western Vikings accelerated away, and there was a little bit of a Barbarian comeback at the end that brought the scoreline to something a little bit more respectable, but pretty good all around for Western Vikings. Tries from Craig Martin, Peter Crowe got two, Danny Howard got one, and Alicia Fryer playing in amongst with the men. That's Chris Fryer's sister. She scored a try, and she kicked three conversions as well. And there were also conversions for Vikings from Craig Martin, Peter Crowe, and Danny Howard. For Castletown, Alex Gibson was over for a try, and there were two from Jack Goodwin. Up at Vagabonds, it was the Clarkie 15 that won in the end, 26-19. On the score sheet for Vagabonds, John Riley and Cam Finley. And for the Clarkie 15, Tom Gascoigne, Jimmy Cubbin, Stevie Gorn, Ross McCulloch and Andre Pretorius. I think everybody's had a great afternoon's worth of fun, and we'll be back to full-on competitive matches next weekend, including, as we've just heard from Sophie there, including Vagabonds ladies playing against the men.
Fantastic stuff. Thank you very much, Dave Christian. Okie dokie, today is World Mental Health Awareness Day, and exercise and activity has been clinically proven to help ease stress and anxiety. However, high-level sport can actually act as a catalyst for those negative emotions. Earlier this week, I spoke to Isle of Man Sports' Gianni Epifani.
There is still a stigma out there, albeit I think it's disappearing. But in terms of what I try to do and what my team tries to do, is trying to find solutions and help and support through exercise or increasing your activity levels to improve people's mental health and just have a more of a positive outlook on life, really.
As an athlete and as a coach in the past, have you worked with many high-level athletes on the Isle of Man that have struggled with mental health issues? Because I think if you look at the opposite end, you can get athletes who are so committed to their sport and they love it, and that can lead to mental health issues.
Yeah. I think as an athlete, and you go up the performance ladder, you put a lot of pressure on yourself, and pressure can lead to increased anxiety and unfortunately stress. It's great when you set yourself a target and you're healthy and you're improving and you're achieving what you want to achieve. I think problems start when you get injured, you get ill, and maybe your form is not where you want it to be. I think that's when it really tests your resilience.
And sometimes, quite a lot of the time that I've seen it, it can lead to well-being, not being in a great place. But I think coaches have got a good role to play, families, family and friends, you know, when you are struggling. But I think as a performance athlete, you do put a lot of pressure on yourself just in terms of sort of setting yourself the targets that you set. When you don't reach them or when you don't get there, it can lead to problems. I appreciate that.
Gianni Epifani there from Isle of Man Sport. And you can find out more information on the Isle of Man Sport website or on this story on the Manx Radio website, manxradio.com, on our sports page. Moving on now to one of the biggest sporting events of the year. The 2021 Parish Walk will go ahead come hell or high water. That's according to race director Ray Cox. Entries open on the 1st of December, but there's already 500 pre-entries from people rolling over their place from this year, which had to be cancelled because of the pandemic, if you hadn't heard. I spoke to Mr. Cox earlier this week.
We're very positive, and we're looking at having a parish walk on the 19th of June next year. And we say it is going to happen. In what shape and form it's going to take, well, that may well be dependent upon what's going on with COVID-19 at that time. But at this stage, we're saying there will be a parish walk. Our feeling is if we're positive, we have definitive plans in place, and we're also agile enough to respond to any restrictions that may be put in the general community. It is very much a Manx event. Mm-hmm. It's always been my policy to have a Manx event for Manx people, with a really, truly Manx aura about it. And I think that's the secret to the parish walk.
You talk about being agile and being able to adapt to whatever restrictions are in place. Do you have any contingency plans at the moment?
Well, our contingency planning is difficult to lay down definitively, except that the policy is there that whatever it is, we're going to address it very, very early, and we're going to find solutions to the problems. So we have all sorts of planning in place for various scenarios. But because we don't know what the challenge will be, it's going to be very difficult to definitively say what we're going to do. However, we will do something. Just as a point of interest, on the 20th of June 2020, we could have had the parish walk. On that Saturday, the restrictions had been lifted. So therefore, just, you know, there's a point in question. We actually could have held the parish walk this year. OK, planning, preparation, everything would have been impossible, and therefore it was not feasible to have it. But, on that particular day, there were no restrictions on walking on the roads. So that's just a point in question. We just feel as if we're in a very positive position. One point I'd like to make is that our sponsors, our headline sponsors, Manx Telecom, have been absolutely brilliant in this fashion. 2020 was a wipeout. They very kindly and almost immediately volunteered to push the 2020 budget into 2021. So we already have full backing for next year. We have that strong financial basis. And the other good thing, we already have 500 pre-entries.
That's fantastic. That was going to be my next question, actually. So entries open in December, don't they? But, well, looks like you're already up and running or up and walking.
We had just over 1,000 entries when we had to pull the plug this year in 2020. And we offered a couple of scenarios to those people who had entered. One was to have full refund, which we did, at a certain expense, I have to say, to the club. The others rolled over their entries, of which there were over 500, rolled over their entry directly into 2021. And then a number of people very kindly offered up their entry as a donation to the Manx Harriers, which we will be putting towards the travel fund for the young athletes when and whenever they can get off the island again. So that was very good. So it means that we already have 521 entries.
That's fantastic.
So come December the 1st, when we'll be opening up the new entry platform, we'll be inviting those people to make sure that their entries are up to date, that they've got the correct details, etc., etc. We do realise that people will be 1 year older from the time they entered, and our programme will automatically slot them into another category if they're moving into a senior or a veteran rank. So that will be taken care of automatically. But we will be having entries open, as I say, December 1st. So we'll be looking for people to say, yeah, we're going to do it.
Parish Walk race director Ray Cox there. And just another quick reminder, Parish Walk 2021, entries open on the 1st of December. So keep your eyes peeled for next year. Ray is adamant it's going to be absolutely fantastic and make up for the cancellation this year. So we're talking cricket next.
Manx Radio Saturday Sport.
And a new era of cricket on the island is upon us. There's been a surge in the number of girls and women taking up the sport, enough so that the under-15s development squad is now set to be split. It will be turned into an under-13s side and a senior side, with aims of the latter being transformed into the Isle of Man's first ever national women's squad. Trials for the new teams are being held on the 1st of November at the NSC. All are welcome and no previous experience is necessary. Sally Green from the Isle of Man Cricket Association told me more.
The numbers has really increased. That's why we're in a position to offer this senior squad this year, because over the last 2 years, we've had over 150 new women play in the softball festivals. We've also had a large number of an increase in women and girls playing in the traditional senior and junior leagues alongside their male counterparts. So that's meant that we've been able to offer this senior squad, because we think we're in a position now to have the numbers to offer it out there.
And we're seeing in rugby that because of limitations of being able to travel for competition, Vagabonds ladies team has been integrated into the Manx Bowl, like to play against the men as tag rugby. But obviously cricket kind of lends itself, because it's non-contact, for men and women to be able to play together. So have you seen an increase in the number of women who are playing alongside men?
We've had an increase over the last few years, really. At the start, we only had a couple playing alongside the men, but this year we've had over 15 playing in junior and senior leagues. And women have been playing in the traditional men's cricket, in inverted commas. It's mixed cricket for as long as I can remember. That's most females started playing alongside the men to start with and then started to play women's only cricket alongside that.
In terms of the new era, where do you want to see this going in the future?
So hopefully this year we'll have a good number of women training over the winter to form the first senior squad, but hopefully this squad will then eventually become what will be equivalent to the male national team, who will then compete on the world stage in ICC events, because the men's and the women's have the same pathway in the fact that they can go and represent the Isle of Man in World Cup qualifiers. And because the number of nations that play women's cricket are smaller, the chances of success, I suppose, are increased, and the chance to go around the world to play cricket is very exciting, positive. Yeah, all those things that you think, what a great opportunity. And, you know, for any female that might want to play cricket.
And this is the first time it's ever been done on the island?
As far as I'm aware, yeah, it's definitely the first time it's been done for females. Obviously, the males have been playing in ICC competitions for a number of years now, but this will be the first time that the females... we're not there yet, because we have to have a number of teams and that sort of logistical sort of things organised as well, but we're getting much closer.
Sally Green from the Isle of Man Cricket Association there. More information about trials can be found at manxradio.com on our sports page. Netball next.
We like sports, so we don't care who knows.
Football,
tennis,
hockey.
Netball. I hope you all enjoyed that homemade netball jingle. I worked extremely hard on it. So to finish, I've got tomorrow's netball fixtures for you. And to be honest, you're spoiled for choice for tight matches in the Premier Division. So we've got Manx Gems Rubies versus Route 1 Connections, Balasala Bravo versus Balasala Alpha. However, that should be a bit more complicated than an A versus B game, because Balasala has split their top two teams this season, just to mix it up a bit. Then we've got Simcox Gold Eagles versus Marbury Misfits A, Thompson Travel 1 versus Brown Crane Tomb Raiders, and another interclub game, Simcox Blue Eagles versus Simcox Red Eagles, which is essentially the majority of the island squad. In Division 1, we've got Thompson Travel 2 versus Simcox Green Eagles, Young Farmers A versus Castletown Spaniards, Manx Gems Sapphires versus Marbury Misfits B, Balasala Charlie go up against Thompson Travel 3, and Route 1 Turbos will take on Long and Humphrey Tomb Raiders. And in Division 2, Balasala Echo take on Young Farmers B, Ramsey Red take on Manx Gems Emeralds. We've got Ramsey Black versus Simcox White Eagles, Castletown Celts will take on Balasala Delta, and Simcox Silver Eagles, they'll take on Route 1 Vaults. So those are the matches for tomorrow morning. A full preview with myself and netball correspondent Ailish Bridesen can be found at manxradio.com on our sports page, where we basically put our predictions and put our money on who we think is going to win and name drop a few people as well. And our time is up, I'm afraid, for this evening. So best of luck to everyone competing tomorrow. Thank you to all my guests and thank you very much for your company today. Until next time, happy sporting, have a lovely Saturday night and I will speak to you soon.